All right, boys, we got to be careful now. This is the 4 Outdoorsmen. Everybody knows we're the 4 Outdoorsmen. Thanks for listening. But I can promise you this show is not going to be 100% about the coronavirus disease or whatever it's called.
Yes, it is. That's all we got.
But we don't know much about that crap.
Well, a little disclaimer for everyone listening here.
We got to protect ourselves.
We are not experts in anything virus.
Oh.
Everything we're going to say today is our opinion only. For any more information, contact the CDC or go to their website. So
I transferred.
That's our disclaimer. So now we're free to talk about everything.
I could be.
Brandon, you got something?
Was that good? No, I think you've covered it.
Okay.
A couple of years ago, not a couple of years ago, but many years ago, I could have been almost a pro or a professional in that area because I did transfer a disease when I was in college one time, but one, as far as I know.
Wine flu doesn't count.
Hey, welcome to everybody. This is Steve Strusinski, the wild card here. They call me Struman. Mark Lukey produces over there. Yeah, Mark's buddy is in the middle again tonight.
Big Sam is joining us tonight. Thank you, Sam, for coming out.
Feels good to be back.
I tell you what. We'll start talking outdoor stuff here pretty soon. But Mark and I were talking with Sam off the air before the show started. And he's not going to be very comfortable tonight because he's nervous as hell because he just sold his house and he's got to get to a closing table.
Yeah, and Stru about gave me a heart attack in the lobby.
I like to have fun, man. Everything's going to be fine.
Should we tell him what you said?
No, go ahead if you want to, yeah.
So we're in the middle of this house. The inspection contingency just came off, so you know I'm nervous.
Perfect.
I want everything to come. We close in 2.5 weeks. And Stru goes, hey, did your realtor tell you about the 3 big things after the inspection that can go wrong? And my heart starts pounding. I'm thinking, like, I have to call my realtor right now.
He
goes on for 5 minutes, tells me he's joking. I'm like,
There's only two. I'll tell you what, you should always have a 120-day closing date, so push out as far as you can, because you're so nervous for 120 days, you'll lose about 40 pounds.
Yeah.
So it's
Are
best
you saying I need to?
No, I didn't say that.
You looked right at my stomach.
No, I was kind of looking. No. I'm in trouble
here. I'm just joking.
What's new, Marky boy? Heard you went to Fleet Farm recently.
Yeah, it's, you know, obviously.
For toilet paper?
No kidding. We're going to talk about a lot of everything, and it's affecting everything, and obviously schools are closed, and we don't really want to talk too much about how it's messing with us, but it is messing with us. And I have a funny story. I grew up in Sun Prairie, Wisconsin area, and a friend of mine and partner, Fleet Farm, is going to be sponsoring our Minnesota Bound Crappie Contest. And I was talking with the lady from Fleet Farm, who was really nice, and we're like, so, you know, how are things with inventory? It's got to be a little bit crazy because, you know, I went to Cub today and there was no bread, no chicken, no nothing.
Again, I don't understand why it wouldn't be bread. What's it got to do with the coronavirus?
Because people are freaking out.
I don't know.
So
they're
I'm
out
like,
of toilet
paper. Yeah,
our toilet paper.
Bread's cheap. It was strange at Cub. I've never felt weird, and it was weird.
It felt like a...
Feels like we're in a movie.
Yeah, it does feel like... Can you imagine if something really big ever hit?
Like the Twilight Zone. It feels like you're in the Twilight Zone.
I've always been
zone.
A prepper in my mind for like 10 years. I think way too much about it. I watch videos about it.
Me too, dude.
Like I'm really into the theory of it, but I was always too scared to actually buy a lot of stuff.
I'm the same
way. Even
though
I wanted to, because I knew my wife would judge me, right?
Right.
Like if I wanted to buy like a big wood-burning fireplace. I'm like,
right.
If the heat ever goes out, I'm going to put that in the house and I'm going to, you know, there's a lot of things I want to buy, but my wife has never said anything, but I don't want her to look at me like my husband has gone insane. Right?
Remember Y2K? Was that
what
it was called?
I was just going to say Y2K was the perfect training.
Yep. And I remember how everyone was freaking out. It was so cool.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, you guys are all, come on, life goes on. Nothing's going to happen. The clocks would be screwed up for a half a day, big deal. But the only thing that Diana and I did was fill up our bathtub with water.
So you were nervous.
Not really. No, I was trying to convince my wife to take a bath with me, but that didn't work either. But no,
so Mills Fleet
Farm. Oh, I'll get back to that part. Sorry, I digress. So I was talking to her. I'm like, so is there any, you know, weird things you guys keeping up with everything? And she goes, you know, there's a strange thing. And she did not know where I was from. She goes, we got a call from our DeForest store, and they have everything, except they ran out of 9mm ammo. I'm like, I know exactly who bought that.
What town was that?
In the town I grew up in, Sun Prairie, Wisconsin.
That's funny.
So they walked right past the toilet paper and bought out all their ammo.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, I did get nervous today, to be honest with you. Diane and I, we're spending a lot of money here the last couple of weeks. I screwed up her car a while back, and I screwed up my car here recently, so we're having some work done on both those cars. And we had to go to, and my trailer got stolen a couple of months back, so I bought a a trailer. My son Mike wouldn't call it a trailer. He thought I should put a wagon in there or something. That's about it. It's a trailer, son. It's a trailer. So anyway, we went up to our cabin in Chautauqua, Wisconsin, because my son Mike and Erica are up there doing some renovation and changes that my pretty wife requested, because frankly, I could live there like it is for 30 years. But no, no, no. I want this wall changed. I want new windows and whatever Dinah wants, she gets. Well, it's like being a plumber. This thing is, I don't know how old this cabin is, and it's a year-round thing. So my son Mike goes up with Erica, and he's a genius. I'm telling you, Mike Heinen, Heinen Construction, he's a genius.
Best
and
there is.
He goes up, and he starts tearing walls apart, and I don't like to see stuff that's torn up. I don't want to be there. So I walk in, and he tells me, this is going to cost you a lot more than what you think. Well, even though he's giving me a little break because I'm dad, this thing was put together with 2x4s and 1x6s and 2x8s and shims and all kinds of things. Who knows what's holding up that roof? So we've got some decisions to make. So I walked out of there kind of stock market didn't get me today. My son Mike Heinen got me today. So we're going to find out.
But it happens. Well, that's always the problem when you tear a wall apart. You find about 1,000 things that need to be fixed immediately.
If it's been around a long time, you can find cool stuff too.
Well, I forgot to ask him what kind of insulation was in there, if there was
newspaper,
any in there at all.
I
don't know.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, probably.
Or rat nests.
But I'll tell you,
I've seen that already.
About 20 years ago, when they were renovating and adding a porch, taking the, it was like a one season porch to a three season porch and knocking out walls there, and they found from the 1930s studs, if you want to call those, the frames. Mm-hmm. And there was writing on a lot of those frames about fishing on September 1st, 1939 or 1947.
Cool. That's cool.
Yeah, that was cool. Mike caught this. And some of the names that were on those pieces of wood are still in that area. So when they had to knock those pieces of that wall down, I took some of those pieces of wood with those names and stories on them and gave them to the people, the families who were...
That's pretty cool.
That was really cool. That was really
super
cool. Nothing worthwhile,
I've
but it's still cool.
I've heard of construction guys over in, I don't know where it was, like we're demolishing a house, you know, or remodeling, I should say, and they opened up the wall, and there was like $750,000.
What?
Yeah, in gold. And it was an estate sale. He bought the house, was going to remodel
That's
it
like
and sell
a movie
it.
That actually happened?
Yeah, it happened, and he had to actually go to, like, the state.
Why?
And they
he bought it.
Yeah, exactly, and because he was worried, you know, and it was
I
his.
I would have told a dang soul.
Not, me neither. No. I've been right into the safe.
I would have called Saul.
But that's a true story. Look it up.
Wow. Yeah. I will. That's
Did you ever find anything worthwhile when you were taking a walk or a hike or something like that that surprised you that was worth something? Anything at all?
Like something I found?
Yeah.
No,
or
I don't
bought
think so.
Something that ended up being worth more than what you anticipated?
That's a good question. I've never really thought about it.
No.
I tell you, one time when I was a kid, by Duluth and Case Playground, east side of St. Paul, when we were raised there in the 1950s, long before you guys were born, there were Quonset huts there instead of a playground. And the Quonset huts...
What's a Quonset hut?
It looks like... like a place where you store a boat with it's a round tarp thing, with a metal frame.
Yep.
And a lot of people from World War II lived in those places when they couldn't afford homes when they got out of World War II. And we thought they were the scary people. That was, don't go down there because you're going to turn into a zombie or something. But when they started moving those away, we started playing there, lots of room to roam, and we found a lot of Indian head nickels. And Indian head nickels of the 1800s and early 1900s. And one nickel I found, honest to God, it was 1918. I remember that specifically. And the 1 and the 9 and the 1 were perfectly straight, and the 8 was stamped at a 45-degree angle. And I knew
an infinity?
I don't know. What does infinity mean?
The symbol?
No. Yeah, like Prince or something. I don't know. But it was an 8, but it was stamped incorrectly. And even as a kid, maybe 7, 8 years old, I knew that was worth something. But of course, I went up to Lemonowski's and bought little Negro baby candy bars or something like that. They had those little black things. They were licorice.
Yeah.
They
yep.
were, and we. I'm sorry about that, but we did that, and I spent that nickel on candy or something. Who knows where it is? And
it's some probably guy, in a museum.
Yeah, some guy's on his yacht right now listening to the show, and that was me. Another
great
story I got about that. I was garage sailing and going to an estate sale, and you might have seen this at our house. And I have a lot of canes. I'm not old canes and golf clubs, old wooden golf clubs that I bought over the years. And my office is about the same size as this room here. And my wife did a beautiful job decorating with all these golf clubs on the wall and whatnot. But I found a cane. It was made out of cedar and looked like walnut. Hand-carved cane, at an estate sale for $10. And I had it for I don't know how many years I had it. And one of my grandkids or somebody was coming over the house doing something and held the handle, turned the handle, and pulled the handle out. And there's a silk umbrella inside.
Cool.
A silk umbrella cool. inside that.
And you didn't know it?
Didn't have a clue.
Wow, so, that's really cool.
So it could be worth a lot of money. Haven't checked it out. Could be worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
You want to buy it?
How much?
$100.
$25.
Oh, it's right. You just sold your house. You're one of those people.
Yeah.
What do we got for the show today, Mark?
Well, we have a lot going on. Obviously, there was a Deer and Turkey Classic on Friday, and I guess they broke some attendance records. Everyone was so excited for it. But then we got the news Friday afternoon that it was going to be shut down. So all of you that were going to go to the show, that is a bummer. I was really looking forward to the new place, Canterbury. We're going to have Rob Driesline on later on to talk about, and that's part of the reason I brought Sam in too, is how it affects the outdoor industry. Obviously, this is a big show for them. I don't know. I'm sure a lot of people lose money. A lot of vendors count on these shows to make their money for the year. And now the Northwest Sports Show is canceled as well. Man, I know a lot of people personally that is their whole business model, where if you're a resort or something, you pay a lot of money to be in the show, to fill up booking. A lot of retailers, a lot of boat companies the Northwest Sports Show is their biggest show for selling boats. I mean, they sell $1 million in boats, some of them. So I just want to know.
Think of the work and time involved. My Lord. Yeah.
I just want to figure out, how it's impacting the industry. We're going to try to tie to the outdoors because this is an outdoor show, but it's obviously screwing up everybody's plans. And, so we're going to talk to Rob Driesline, and we have one other guest. Stu, you want to talk about that guest coming up after the break?
What's his name?
Huh?
Nick? Hang on, Nick. Hang on, I got him. Do we have him? Here it is. Oh, you got it there. Nick's on. Hang on a second, Nick, I got you. Nick Edlund is going to be on.
Yep, and what is he talking about?
Nick is going to be talking a lot about mule deer hunting. He's part of the Mule Deer Association or Foundation. I'm not sure what it's called exactly. And they have a lot of things going on all the time. I'm looking forward to talking to him. He's also going to be having a fundraiser called Gunapalooza. And I think a lot of the money that they get from Gunapalooza down in Farmington goes to kids and trying to get them in the hunting and supplies, those kind of things. He is a coyote addict. I tell you, this guy is all about having contests. Come on, boys, let's take these coyotes down and wait to hear some of the stories about that as well. But he's the real deal.
So we have a couple shout-outs here. We'll probably do another shout-out at the end of the show if you haven't got in. Tell us how things are screwing up your life with the virus thing. The good news is there's lots of outdoor activities that you can do by yourself. The only problem is we're kind of in that limbo between fishing, ice fishing in spring, and so it's...
Can't go to the concerts, nothing, yeah.
It's not a good time, really, for the outdoors. I mean, you can ice fish up north, but ice is not really safe down here anymore, and everyone's got to be off the ice, so we're kind of in a tough spot where there isn't a whole lot of outdoor stuff to do, and that's why there's all these outdoor shows, but anyway...
You can jog.
We do have some pictures and shout-outs coming in here. Ooh, you just liked my photo. Sam, thank you.
You're welcome.
I clicked on to see who liked it, and it screwed me up. All right, first one is our good friend Kristen Merwin practicing social distancing this weekend with a monster bluegill. That's a great fish, Kristen. Thank you for writing in. Our friend Jesse, our recent guest, says wishing the Deer and Turkey Classic wasn't shut down. It was a great first day. I saw he was all set up there with his giant bear skin. Was that your friend?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got that through Sam. Our good friend John Marshall's just hanging outside in the garage with the show on, catching spring fever. Thanks, John, for writing in. And our friend Chris Davis says, cleaning up so I have more room for my fly fishing tying stuff. We got to get Chris on to talk about fly fishing and tying lures. And he said, yes, the virus has screwed up my plans. Was going to the Deer and Turkey Show this weekend and fly fishing show next weekend. Both canceled.
I told you, that Mark knows this, but Carrie Lampert is a good friend of mine. She and John are really good friends of mine. And she, I don't know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, shot a monster buck in Chisago area. And she had a mount that is half the body darn near.
I saw that on your Facebook.
Yeah, with the legs and all that. And it is a monster. And she had it scored back then. I don't recall what it was, but she wasn't, excited about that number. And looked to me like, I'm thinking it should be in the 180s, 190s. It wasn't even that. But you got to see this beautiful animal. So she and John dropped it off and asked me if I would bring it to the... To the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic to have it scored on Saturday, and of course that didn't happen. So
do you need me to come over and score it?
Do you know how to score?
Yeah,
absolutely.
I'll come over and score it.
Oh, it's gorgeous. Yeah, it's going to be in my garage for a couple of weeks. I'd love to have you do that.
Do you have an official stamp or something you can put on it? Like
I could make one.
Nice.
That'll work.
So, so Sam, you are in the outdoors industry.
Yes, sir.
You have a sales rep group, so you work with outdoors companies. How is this affecting your partners in business? Are they worried? Are they? I mean, things like gun sales and ammo sales got to be way up, I would think.
Yeah.
Whenever there's a freak out, people start buying guns.
Yeah, I think it's going to start getting even worse because, you know, everyone's thinking first, like, what do I need to feed my family? How much toilet paper do I need? I got all that. Now let's do the ammo surplus. I got enough guns, that stuff. So, yeah, it's starting to roll, definitely.
It's starting to roll.
I would say that everyone is definitely, you know, thinking about it. I've talked to a very large retailer that's located in Lakeville this week about, I have, you know, orders going in there. And he even mentioned, he's like, we'll see how this, you know, virus goes. I'm like, well, it's not going to stop business. But, yeah, everyone's worried about it. And, unfortunately, a lot of stuff in our industry is made overseas.
Yeah.
And it can be scary of how much inventory do I have on, what's already on the boat, and what's being held up.
Right.
And, yeah, it's definitely in everyone's mind, and I think it's going to help portions of the industry, and I think it's going to possibly slow down a few other things. But I truly think that it'll all eventually equal out here in the next couple months, but it's literally in everyone's arm. I mean, that's our livelihood, too. You know, you got
to
prepare for it.
Everyone got kind of caught in the trap of getting things made overseas, and I totally understand that. As a, you know, in business, you want to get something made a lot cheaper. But I hope people start to think that, I think some people might pay a little bit more, you know, for products, and we can start making some things here or in at least friendly countries that aren't threatening us.
Well, who was, we went fishing last week, Mark and I, and about 10 of our listeners as well, had a great time. And thanks to Matt and Dean, all these guys were up there. And Matt, who is in distribution, I don't know exactly what it does.
Yeah.
He was saying this is going to be good because now people are concentrating about, we got to start making stuff for ourselves. We can't be dependent on people like China.
I was just going to say that, too.
And he thinks that's going to turn things around. He really believes that.
Yeah, and honestly, too, in our outdoor industry, if you look at the customer base, I would say a majority of them will look for a Made in America stamp on a product. Yep. And I sell a lot of stuff to Shields, and I showed a product to Shields, and on the back it says Made in the USA. And the buyer is like, that needs to be on the front.
Yeah.
And he means that needs to be three times the size and on the front because people look for that. And that, this coronavirus, the tariffs, it kind of puts everything up in arms. And why don't we bring it here to the stateside so we have more control of it? So,
you know, talking about, I'm 100% that, I personally believe that I would spend maybe 5 to 10% more for an item, depending on what it is.
And that's probably the margin, to be honest with you.
Everybody would
Made in the USA.
Yep. If it's that's what they say. If it says Made in the USA, put it proudly on the front because this industry would go for that first.
But most people don't realize that there's a town in Russia called Ussa. So, you know, you got to be careful.
You got to put that flag. Put the flag.
You got to be careful. Are we ready? Right. Are we ready, buddy? Hey, we're going to be right back with
Nick.
Our
good new friend.
And
see you soon. Listen to these nice messages.
Nick Edlin, love you, buddy. Talk to you soon.
Checking in with the four outdoorsmen. Find them at mybobcountry.com under the weekend tab.
The Devil's Lake Secret has been out for many, many years. It's one of the top five fisheries in this country and is just waiting for you to make memories. Devil's Lake just might be the jumbo perch capital of the world. And now is the time to book your trip by going to devilslakend.com. There's great hotels, great eateries, great fishing, and a package deal to fit anybody who loves catching walleyes and perch through the ice. Hey, Devil's Lake, exciting, unique, and a superb ice fishing experience for the whole family. Book your memories now, devilslakend.com.
NMLS number 638054. Looking for financing for hunting land, a boat, or cabin on the lake? Then you need to head to the State Bank of Faribault. Maybe you're thinking about a fish house, a new ATV, side-by-side, or even a dock system. Come down to the State Bank of Faribault and see Matt or John and do business with outdoorsmen just like you. At the State Bank of Faribault, camouflage isn't just a color, it's a lifestyle. Located in Faribault on Prior Lake, the State Bank of Faribault, creating customers for life, equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Right down the street from our studio in Ramsey, Minnesota, off of Highway 10, is the best marine and power sports dealer in the Twin Cities, Power Lodge. Boomer here, looking for a new Alumacraft with an Evinrude motor, Sea-Doo jet ski, or a Can-Am ATV for your next adventure? Power Lodge has you covered with three locations in Ramsey, Onamia, and in Brainerd. With full-service shops at three locations and award-winning customer service, Power Lodge is where I take my boat to get ready for the open water. Visit powerlodge.com to learn more.
Producer Mark here for Vexilar Marine Electronics. They've been in the business for over 60 years, and there isn't a more dependable flasher you can get out there. I have an FLX-28. We took it to Lake of the Woods, and I haven't used it in a while, unfortunately, but it fired right up. It lasted 2 days on one charge, and I wouldn't use anything else. You can zoom in on the bottom 6 feet. You can change colors. You can put it in low power mode. It's got everything you want. I know there's a lot of options out there, but stick with the best, Vexilar Marine Electronics, and use the K-Drill. It's an attachment for a cordless, brushless drill. You can take it anywhere. It's light. I'll tell you, when you want to hop holes and want to punch a lot of holes, there's nothing better than a K-Drill. So go to Vexilar.com. That's Vexilar.com, the leader in marine electronics.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and as you know, my passion is to help each and every one of you get the best sleep of your life. That's why I created my new Giza Dreams bed sheets. I started by using the world's best cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River, where the weather conditions are perfect for one crop, cotton. My bed sheets are ultra soft, breathable, and extremely durable. They come in a variety of colors, and now for a limited time, when you use your promo code, I'll give you my best offer ever. Buy one set of my Giza Dream Sheets and get another set absolutely free. I guarantee they're going to be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own.
Go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code Bob, or call 800-606-7812 to take advantage of this amazing offer.
Don't you love that feeling when you've just nailed your look? When someone you barely even know comes up to you and says, "Oh, I love that outfit. Where did you get it?" That's how it feels to use Stitch Fix. They're a personal styling service. Tell them what you love, and they send great clothes for you to try on at home. Stitch Fix is simple. Sign up in just a few minutes. Tell them about the brands you love and the looks that make you feel great. Stitch Fix is convenient. Get everything delivered right to you, so you can try on new styles in the comfort of your own home. Stitch Fix is on your terms and priced to fit your budget. There's no subscription required, ever. Keep what you want and send back anything you don't. So, isn't it time you started nailing your look? Get started today at StitchFix.com. Stitch Fix, personal styling for women, men, and kids. Stitch Fix, personal styling for everybody.
Country Bob FM. Hey, welcome back to the 4 Outdoorsman gang. Thanks for being here. Boomer, Sam, true man here. Hey, Nick, are you there, buddy? Nick Edlund's on the line, right?
Yes, sir.
He's on there. Hey, welcome to the 4 Outdoorsman. Sir, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing fantastic, sir. How are you doing tonight?
We're doing well. We're going to get right into this, Nick. Tell us a little bit about your background. We're going to talk about the mule deer and the coyote hunting and Gunnapalooza, but tell us all about Nick Edlund, where you live, how you started hunting, what's going on with your life.
Well, that's a heck of a story. So I started hunting when I was about 8 years old. You know, grew up in a hunting family. My dad always hunted. Grew up in the middle of Itasca State Forest, and my godfather, my Uncle Steve, started me duck hunting when I was 8 years old. And, him and I duck hunted together for like 24 years, I think, consecutively. We hunted on the Minnesota Duck Opener. And, obviously hunted deer and stuff like that in northern Minnesota. And then here about the last seven, eight years or so, been heading out west and, just chasing mule deer.
What got you into mule deer? You know, we got a lot of white-tailed deer, and especially down in Farmington area. I think you're in Farmington area, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of deer down there, pal. What got you into mule deer?
You know, I had a really good friend of mine move out west, and he was living out there for a year, and then the next season, he's like, "Man, you got to come out here and experience this." So he drugged me out there one day, or one fall, and I tell you what, it was one of those deals where, sitting out in some of that open country, we were sitting up on top of this ridge, just looking out over this big, deep valley. And, like, there's not a tree in sight. And I looked over at him. I'm like, "Man, what are we doing here? Like, there's no deer here." He's like, "Just wait." And 20 minutes go by. Still haven't seen anything. I'm like, "Man, there's no deer here. What are we doing?" And he's like, "Just wait." Well, finally, that sun crested the ridge and hit the valley floor. And, man, mule deer started popping up out of everywhere. And I was hooked since then. So.
And that was your first experience, right?
That was my first experience with mule deer, yes.
Yeah, I'll tell you, we're going to talk about the mule deer. Is it the Mule Deer Association or Mule Deer Foundation? What do you call it?
Okay, so yeah, I started the first Mule Deer Foundation's chapter here in Minnesota.
Good for you.
Yeah, I started it last year, and it's called the Original Minnesota Chapter of the Mule Deer Foundation. So yeah, basically the reason I started that is just we got a bunch of guys, you know, back east here in Minnesota that travel west every year. So I'm just like, man, there's got to be some way for us all to come together, kind of, you know, help do some good for the mule deer that we love and that. And I just spend a bunch of time out west and just love it. And I want everybody else to be able to experience what I experience out there.
Go ahead, Mark.
Oh, Nick, producer Mark here. What areas do you go, or what areas do mule deer populate where you guys all go hunt?
So, like, I'll start in South Dakota, and, I mean, I've hunted Wyoming, Colorado. I'm putting in for points in Arizona, Utah, Nevada. Wow. I mean, yeah, I'm kind of getting ready to do a lot more hunting and call it a lot more trophy hunting, looking for some of them units that take, you know, 4, 5, 6 years. Some, like that Arizona, you know, that might take me 15, 20 years to draw that tag. So,
are you able to hunt public land, or is it something you arrange with places?
You know, so that's the thing. I get that question a lot. So everything I've always done for mule deer has always been on public ground.
That's great.
Every deer I've ever taken has always been on public land. So that's where, like, you know, I talked to a lot of guys, like, man, there is just tons of opportunity out west if you're willing just to get out there and look for it. Yep. Yeah, everything I do is pretty much solo, DIY, public ground.
Hey, we're talking with Nick Edlin from Farmington Mule Deer Hunter. I'll tell you what, hearing the story just told me right now, he told us and our listeners right now, either you've never been married or you're divorced, right? One of the two. Which one is it?
Neither.
So you have one hell of a wife, young man, right?
Yeah. Good for you. My dad always told me, do it while I can.
So there you go. Hey, I'll tell you what, hopefully this is going to embarrass you somehow, but one of your friends, I said, give me some dirt on Nick and something that he might have a little fun with. He wants you to tell us the salted nut roll story.
So, okay, well, we got to back it up a little bit. So, like, when I first started hunting out there, like, talk about just daisy fresh rookie, you know, obviously a tree stand hunter, whitetail hunter, heading out west into open country. So that very first day after we got back to camp, I basically unzipped every pocket and every compartment in my backpack and just started dumping everything out of it. Like, it looked like I was having a yard sale out there. I mean, I had rattling antlers, a bow hanger, a grunt tube. I mean, you name it, I had in there. So we dumped all that. Then it wasn't good enough that, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. But then the next year, I drug a buddy of mine with me just so somebody could be as bad as I was out there. And so he's out there with me the first morning, and I'm like, he's like, man, do I need to put any food or anything in my pack? I'm like, no, we're not going to be gone that long. We're not going that far. Well, I'm like a grass is greener guy. Like, I will hike the other side of the mountain just to see what's on the other side of the mountain.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
We get into the day, and I take them all the way down into the bottom where I told him I wasn't going to take them. Then I hike them all the way back up to the top, and then, you know, he's wanting some food or whatever. I give him some of mine, whatever, and then we end up hiking all the way to the back side of this property. Well, if that wasn't good enough, on our way back, I was like, oh, man, we got to drop back down to the bottom and see what's down there. He got so mad at me when we're hiking out of that hole. Like, he wouldn't talk to me. We get back to the truck. He's like, Nick, the only thing that kept me or got me back to the truck and kept me from killing you was this Pierce's salted nut roll I had waiting for me at the truck.
You know what's great is I work with Pearson's, with Ranchero Productions, and I'm going to cut that out and send it to him. That's fantastic.
So, yeah, that's just one of the stories of some of the stuff I get, guys.
Hey, let's go ahead. Sam's got a
question. Hey, Nick, I got a question. Sam here. Got a couple questions for you, actually. Are you an archery guy or a rifle guy? And then,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, after you answer that, I'll be a quick one. What's your strategy? I mean, are you looking right now at maps, where you want to go, where you're going to camp, where you're going to stay? Like, what? Give us a little bit of a glimpse of your strategy in mule deer.
Sure. So I am mainly an archery hunter, just basically for the fact that I can get tags easier and my seasons are longer. Because that's one thing, like, I'm not the best hunter. I need more time. So by archery hunting, I get more time. As far as strategies go, like, man, them first couple of years, like, not knowing nothing, I would just get on a map, find the public ground, the biggest chunk of public ground I could find, and I would literally just start hiking, and I would just bow hike. Like, it got so bad, like, them first couple of years, I actually quit taking my backpack, quit taking a knife,
And I had some guys stop me like, where's your pack? Like, what are you going to do if you shoot a deer? I'm like, well, I never kill anything anyway, so I'll just hike back to the truck and get my stuff. So, so like now, you know, obviously you learn as you go, you learn from your mistakes, but yeah, so now I get on maps, do a lot on Google Earth. Hill map is another one. Start researching units, figuring out what type of topography and terrain is advantageous for my style of hunting. Because I'm the type, like, I need ground to be able to glass. I'm not good at hunting mule deer in the trees. It gets a lot tougher. But, man, if I can sit back, you know, a half mile, mile, whatever, on a big or on a good vantage point and pick them out and watch them, I mean, that's my style of hunting. So that's what I'm looking for in units and states when I head west.
I tell you what, you know, I've never done that. I've done whitetail for 50 years up in Ely, Minnesota, and that's where I've done most of my hunting. I've never done mule deer. I've never done elk or anything. I'm the kind of guy at this age, at 68, I would love to go on a trip like that and just to be part of it. You know what I mean? And just do the hiking, and I'll be the Sherpa. I'll carry 40 pounds in the backpack, whatever. I think it'd be a great, great experience.
I bet some guys would take you up on that.
I bet they would. No, I think it'd be a great experience. You pay for it, I'm in, but no, I'm serious. I think it'd be a great experience just to witness it and watch
people. I think
there's
a lot of people that do that, what you're talking about.
Oh, I think it'd be a great experience. Yeah, oh, good for you. Hey, I tell you what, let's talk about Gunnapalooza. What the heck is Gunnapalooza?
So through my Mule Deer Foundation chapter, we hold what's called a Gunnapalooza. So basically, it's a short 2-hour event. And we hold it at like these local venues. We don't serve any food. You guys show up, you guys can buy, you know, whatever you want to eat, whatever you want to drink, wherever we're having it at. So like on this one we got coming up, we're opening doors at 7. We're having that Kelts Pub in Farmington. We're opening doors at 7, and basically there's no admission to get in. So basically you guys can just show up and drink with me, tell stories, whatever you want to do. But then you just buy your raffle tickets at the event. And we sell different packages. You know, there's some just single raffles. There's some like general raffle tickets. But one thing we do that's different at these Gunnapaloozas is each gun that we have on our raffle has its own individual bucket. So, like, if there's only one gun that you really want, you can just throw all your tickets into that one bucket for that one gun. So, then basically, like I said, we'll sell tickets for, like, that first hour. And then starting the second hour, I mean, we start drawing for one gun every, like, 5 minutes. And we give away between 10 and 15 guns in an hour.
Cool. Mark.
So, Nick, did you say that was – is it Kelts Pub? Is that in Rosemont or is it in Farmington?
The one in Farmington.
Okay, because there's a Celts, I think, in Rosemont. So it's in Farmington. Yes. What's the date on that?
March 28th.
March 28th, and the doors open at 7?
Yes, sir.
Hey, we'll try to get some people down there. Go ahead, Mark.
That's totally open to the public. You don't have to reserve ahead of time or anything?
Nope, everybody's welcome. Like I said, we'd love to have everybody down. And like I said, it's a good time. It's short and sweet. And like I said, it's fun for me to connect with some of these people that I meet on like Facebook and stuff.
Yep.
And actually be able to put a, you know, a face to a name.
Hey, Nick, where does the money go?
What's that?
Where does all the money go?
Oh, so half. So our proceeds, it's kind of cool. So what we got going on here in Minnesota with our chapter is since we don't have mule deer here in Minnesota, we actually get to allocate some of the funds that we raise to local youth programs. So it's really cool. I'm actually really excited. We just got connected with a school that's trying to get an archery program started. So we're donating some of our funds to them. And then by partnering up with the Minnesota DNR, they're going to match the money that we donate through a grant.
Wonderful.
We're basically doubling our money and getting an archery program started in a school here in Minnesota. So we're really excited for that. And then the rest of our funds that we raise all go to, like, mule deer habitat projects, you know, South Dakota, North Dakota, Wyoming, Colorado, Arizona. But our chapter gets to deem what projects we want to put it into. So, like I said, because we don't have mule deer here, the foundation has been really awesome. Like I said, letting us keep some of the funds locally to get more people into the outdoors, but then also picking which programs, you know, we want to work with.
Good for you. You should be excited. I'll tell you what, you were talking about the gun deal. Mark and Sam didn't come, I don't think, I'm with the Wildwood Lions in Matamida. We have a big sportsman's dinner every year, and it's huge. 250 tickets sold and all that. And we did something similar this year as well. We raffled off two guns, and you could choose which gun you wanted. And one ticket, two or three, whatever it was. My buddy Wade Ryan put 7 or 8 tickets at $10 a ticket, I think it was. and he got himself a $1,700 Benelli. What kind of gun was that, Mark?
It was a Benelli shotgun.
$1,700 Benelli shotgun for, it was $80. The money goes to charity. All the money goes to charity.
And my $30 went to that gun, too.
That's a good ROI.
Yeah.
So I can appreciate what you're doing. We'll try to get some people down there for you. All right, we got about 3, 4, 5 minutes. Let's talk coyote hunting. Let's tell what's going on with you and coyote hunting. You got a thing coming up right
man.
Now.
Oh, man. It's been an awesome year. So I'm closing in on, I'm getting real close to killing about 50 coyotes already for this year.
50,
this
that's January. 5-0, that a yeah. boy.
Yeah, January, February, March here. So, yeah, it's been a stellar season. But, man, there's just been a ton of coyotes around this year. And I've hunted them, obviously, a lot more than I have in other years. But, yeah, it's just been really good. And, you know, man, having a lot of people get a hold of me, just like, hey, you know, I got a ton of coyotes, you know, killing my chickens or bothering the dogs or killing deer in my yard. So it's like, you know, I'll get down there, put you on the list, and I'll get down there and try and help you out. So
you have some kind of a contest coming up?
Oh yeah. So March 27th, so Friday, we are doing a 24-hour, a 1-day coyote calling contest. So it's calling coyotes for conservation. And that's also through my Mule Deer Foundation chapter. And it's just another way where we're trying to raise some more funds for programs around here. Yeah, so we are doing a 1-day coyote calling contest, and that's going to start. We're having registration at Kelp's Pub at 6 o'clock Friday night, and then we're going to you got to check back in at 6 o'clock on Saturday, so 1 hour before the Gunapalooza starts, and then we're going to announce the winners for that coyote calling contest at the Gunapalooza. And I will say, so like my VP in my chapter, Wade, he went out, and we got the WWF Championship Wrestling belt with, like, a coyote on. Like, so the winning team is going to be winning those belts. So I think he's a little disappointed that him and I aren't going to be hunting in it this year. But I told him, like, well, we'll see how it goes this year, and then maybe we'll take a run at it next year. But, yeah, I had a lot of guys get a hold of me, like, man, you know, we're not going to hunt in it because, you know, we're nighttime hunters. And there's no snow, no moon, and you're just going to win it anyway. It's like, man, that's not why I'm doing this. Just show up, support the contest. I won't hunt it. Get out there, hunt them during the day, however you want. And like I said, let's just try and take out some more cows before them fawns hit the ground.
Well, I tell you, hey,
Nick.
I
don't think people understand, like, the damage, the devastation that them coyotes do on the deer population.
I'm going to let you go in a couple of seconds here. Nick Edlund, Farmington, to tell you what. I wanted to talk about trap shooting as well. You coached that in high school, I believe. You have a lot of things going on, but we're running out of time here. How do people find you if they want to get involved in the Gunapalooza or the coyote hunt? How do they reach Nick Edlund?
So I had to research myself, but so I'm on Instagram and Facebook at Nick Edlund. So it's just N-I-C, Edlund, E-D-L-U-N-D. So yeah, just hit me up on Instagram or Facebook. Check me out there. And or not, just show up down at Kelp's Pub on the 28th or 27th, and you can talk with me down there.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to try to get as many people down there as we possibly can. You are the real deal. Nice man, speak well. We'd love to have you on again in studio sometime if you feel like coming up here, all right?
Man, I sure appreciate everything you do for me, guys.
You bet. Good luck to you, and good luck to the mule deers and all everything you're doing, pal. Take care of yourself, all right? We're going to be right back with Rob Dreeslime. He's with the Outdoor News. We talk about what happened at the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic. Had to shut down a little bit, so did everybody else. How is that affecting him? How does that happen? Talk to you guys soon.
Movie madness is taking over Bob Country. You spent all winter watching them, now rank them. We're starting off with 32 movies facing off head-to-head in their genres and narrowing down the victors round by round until there's only one movie left, and that is the greatest. What is the greatest movie of all time? You decide. Vote today at MyBobCountry.com.
Devil's Lake, rated one of the top 5 fisheries in all of America. It's grown from 70,000 acres to 160,000 acres plus in the last 40 years or so, and that's nearly unlimited opportunities. Ice fishing is now, and Devil's Lake is well known for its jumbo perch, plenty of walleyes for you to keep, 5 per day as a matter of fact, with 10 in possession, and listen closely, there's no slot limit. Devil's Lake, every angler's dream come true. Hey, trust Drew Man on this one. Check it out at devilslakend.com.
right down the street from our studio in Ramsey, Minnesota, off of Highway 10, is the best marine and power sports dealer in the Twin Cities, Power Lodge. Boomer here, looking for a new Alumacraft with an Evinrude motor, Sea-Doo jet ski, or a Can-Am ATV for your next adventure? Power Lodge has you covered with three locations in Ramsey, Onamia, and in Brainerd. With full-service shops at three locations and award-winning customer service, Power Lodge is where I take my boat to get ready for the open water. Visit PowerLodge.com to learn more.
NMLS number 638054. Looking for financing for hunting land, a boat, or cabin on the lake? Then you need to head to the State Bank of Faribault. Maybe you're thinking about a fish house, a new ATV, side-by-side, or even a dock system. Come down to the State Bank of Faribault and see Matt or John and do business with outdoorsmen just like you. At the State Bank of Faribault, camouflage isn't just a color, it's a lifestyle. Located in Faribault on Prior Lake, the State Bank of Faribault, creating customers for life, equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Wendy's has been showing everyone how to do fast food right for 50 years. And now they're showing them how 2-for-5s are done with Wendy's 2-for-5. It's the only one where you can get Wendy's fresh, never frozen beef and that Wendy's spicy chicken you crave. Pick 2 for $5. Choose between the juicy Dave single, the tasty spicy chicken sandwich, 10-piece crispy, or spicy nuggets. Come in today and taste how a real 2-for-5 is done. Only at Wendy's. Fresh beef available in the contiguous U.S., Alaska, and Canada. Price and participation may vary for a limited time only.
And now, a page from the Diary of Flo.
Dear Diary, there's something about protecting people's homes through Progressive that inspires me, because I just had an idea for a book. Well, it was originally an idea for a movie based on a play inspired by a podcast. But the idea is how you can save when you bundle home and auto. Might not be the best idea for a book.
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive.
Maybe a radio commercial? Guess we'll never know.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Total Country Bob FM.
Hey, Stewman's back in town. The 4-Hour Outdoorsman, Sammy Boy, is next to me, and Mark is next to him. And I think we've got a guest. I'm correct. We've got a guest. We've got Rob Driesline on one more time. Rob, how are you, buddy?
Hey, guys. I've had better weekends in my life.
Are you tired? Did you sleep last night?
I tell you what, I was so exhausted from breaking everything down. Some of the heavy equipment that we've got there. And the manual labor that went into that, yeah, I was pretty tired. I actually did sleep last night.
I'll tell you what, Rob Driesline, of course, is the managing editor, I believe, of the Outdoor News. And, of course, we all know it's my Bible. I love it. I love being with you guys and being part of your family. But these guys had the Outdoor News and Deer Classic this year. I don't know how many years it's been running. They went from the Coliseum and the Fairgrounds to Canterbury Downs this year because they ran out of room, and it's going to kick ass this year. Friday was... broke all kinds of records, lots of crowds, and Saturday and Sunday you decided you had to shut down. And frankly, I think you made a right decision. I'm not concerned about it right now, but I think you made a right decision legally, if nothing else. How do you handle that? What happens to finances? I mean, all that kind of crap.
Yeah, we still got to sort through all that, Stru. We're really going to dig into that tomorrow morning. We're going to look out for our vendors. We're going to look out for our customers. It was just the timing was very challenging. Our doors opened at 1 p.m. on Friday, and at 1 p.m. Friday, the governor had his press conference, highly recommending, along with the Department of Health, that any event with more than 250 people shut down. So it wasn't just us. The auto show shut down. There was a gun collector show, I believe, at the fairgrounds where we were last year. They shut down.
Right.
The fly fishing show is shutting down this weekend, and it's my understanding the Northwest Sports Show is not going to happen this week. So the timing was just really, really challenging for us. And it was what was maybe most disheartening about it was, it was our first year in the new facility, Canterbury Park, and it was gangbusters Friday. It was like everything we'd ever wanted the show to be. That's what was unfolding
right on
Friday afternoon. And, I mean, the weather was perfect for a show. I mean, it was too cold to do a whole lot outside, but it was the roads were clear, and I think yesterday and today would have been absolutely bonkers. So that's what made it really disheartening.
Well, I'll tell you what, I know a couple of security guards out at Canterbury Downs, and we're upset about it and frustrated as well, the 4-Hour Outdoorsman, because James, a good friend of mine, calls himself James, said he found at least 15, 20 people hiding there Friday night to make sure they got in there in time to see the 4-Hour Outdoorsman Saturday. So they were so we're upset about it as well. Go ahead, Martin.
Hey, I got a question for you, Rob. So, I mean, I I'm bummed about it. You probably did the right thing just to cover your own tracks. What did the vendors say? Were the vendors upset with you, or were they understanding? Obviously, this is important for them, and you had to do what you had to do. But what were some of your feedback from the vendors? Were they upset about the situation or about the decision?
They were overwhelmingly understanding. Yeah. They got it. Hey, the governor spoke. The governor said he didn't want any events going. And, it's more than just being ordered by the governor to shut down. When the Department of Health is saying this is potentially not safe, events this large, we got to look out for each other. We got to look out for our fellow citizens. And like I say, we're gonna try to make this as right as we can with exhibitors, and see if we can take another run at this next year, because I definitely think exhibitors, they left Friday saying we just had a really good day here.
Right.
This is a good show, and we hope they take a crack swing at it again in 2021.
Hey Rob, when you bring in some of the big shots like Bone Crusher and even Tony Peterson, my buddy Tony Peterson, all these guys, and you got Melissa, right? Melissa?
Yep.
Bring them all in. Do you negotiate some kind of fee specifically for them for the 3 days, or is it a one-time deal? And do they? How does that work? Do they get everything that they were supposed to get when they get here? You've got a whole lot of stuff to drill through to get this thing finished up.
Absolutely, and like I said, we're going to drill through all that tomorrow. Yeah, they get a fee, an appearance fee, and I don't want to go into too much detail. We haven't sorted it all out, but. No, we operate as good business people, and we want to make sure we do this right and treat those folks right. This isn't their fault. By the way, Michael Waddell, it was just an absolute hit. He kind of gave the closing seminar there. He had a packed house, and he just said all the right things and really was complimentary about the show, and he felt bad about how it went down. It is what it is. That's been the phrase all weekend.
Hey, Rob, Sam here. Is this something you're just going to push it back into next year, or maybe try and sneak something in later this year?
I feel, we need to sort it out some more, but
right,
I feel pretty confident saying that we probably would push it into next year.
Right.
We got to lick our wounds here, go through the balance.
Yeah, it's hard to get venues, too. I understand that.
Yeah.
Rob, go ahead, Mark.
I was just going to say, just to open it up in general, you have your finger on the pulse with the outdoors community, obviously, and that's why we love having you on. How do you think this whole situation, obviously it's affecting sports, it's affecting venues, what effect do you think it'll have on the outdoors community as a whole? Do you think, obviously it's not great for business, but maybe some people see an opportunity to get outside and do some things that they're not normally doing this time of year?
Well, yeah, it's certainly challenging for all industry
right now.
I mean, anybody who's going to try to sell anything, we got supply chains disrupted around the world. Anybody who's trying to build something, we've got those issues. If I can find a little bit of a silver lining or a bit of positivity, would be we've been through recessions before at Outdoor News. The whole country has. And we've generally seen our circulation hold up pretty well through a recession. People want that release. They want that. They love their outdoors. They want to know what's going on. And I think that's going to play through what you just suggested. I went for a walk today. I saw a lot more families out for a walk today than it felt, seemed like I normally did. I see a lot of people posting on social media saying, this is my version of social distancing. They're out at a National Wildlife Refuge or at a WMA or something. So I think people are going to retreat back to those important things like the outdoors. And I think if anything survives this, I think this is going to be a short-term deal.
Yeah.
I think the outdoors is in recreation.
I tell you, when you're talking about the recession of 2006 or 7, and we've gone through a couple of these, we've always bounced back. But Robbie boy, when we bounced back from those, I was able to bounce back. I might be dead by the time. I haven't got much time left, man. I'm 69 years old. How much time do I need?
Well, where do you start with this thing? I think we're going to have a vaccine within a year. I mean, we're doing our best to try to fight off the initial pulse of this thing so that we don't overwhelm the healthcare system. And I think we got to look out for each other. Everybody's got to look out for each other. And my goal right now is to just make sure I keep publishing newspapers the next several weeks.
And that you do unbelievably well. If any of our listeners do not subscribe to the Outdoor News, you must. I'm telling you, must, because it'll keep you in the loop. every week. It is the best reading publication in the country by far. Rob and Tim and the guys do a great, great job, and it's fun to be part of you. Hey, I'll tell you, let's go into deer hunting. It's like April almost. Right? And what are your thoughts about the deer? How did they do through the winter this year? I think Northeast was really well. Northwest Northwest did really well. Northeast maybe not so well. What are your thoughts about the deer population for the spring of 2020?
Oh, I'm feeling pretty good about how the deer population came through winter. I mean, this thaw we had the past couple of weeks, I mean, hitting 60 degrees last weekend, that's the sort of thing that really helps deer a lot. It exposes the ground, exposes food. The southern two-thirds of the state, I think deer came through winter just fine. And I'm hearing in the Northeast, you know, the warm-up helps up there, too. You know, we've got winter severity index readings that are getting into that moderate to moderately high region up there, but I don't think it's going to be severe. I don't think we're going to see severe winter kill up there, guys. So I'm cautiously optimistic. If I can throw one sad point on the middle of this, you know, yep. On Friday we did get a note that we had a CWD positive wild deer in Dakota County.
Right, right.
That's the northernmost part of the 300 series.
Hang on a second, Rob. I think you said Dakota County. I think it's Anoka County. Am I right or am I wrong?
Dakota.
It was a Dakota County. Oh, yeah. Then I'm wrong. Go ahead.
I'm pretty positive about that. So that's the northernmost part of the 300 series where we still had APR because we banned APR in the southern part of the 300 series where we had CWD. I got to think if we find one or two more, that's going to be the end of APR in the southeast.
But I'll tell you, we're talking about the CWD in Dakota County. That was a wild deer. Apparently somebody saw this deer doing his thing and was wobbling and not doing well, and they had it tested. They took it down and had it tested. That's a wild deer. That's a bigger concern than these deer that are corralled and fenced in for a long, long time. And now, what do they do about that? Are they putting some kind of a moratorium around that area then for this season?
It's true. I've been so all my bandwidth has been devoted to this crazy weekend here. So I haven't looked into it yet. You know more about it than me. I did not hear it was stumbling around. That's really bad news. That would suggest I don't want to. Want to get into hyperbole here, but if we got an outbreak like that in Dakota County, boy, oh boy, that's not good for deer hunting in my favorite part of the state to hunt.
I think you're still there. Can you hear me, Rob?
I beg your pardon?
Oh, I wasn't sure if you can still hear me. I'll tell you what, we're going to let you go because you've got a lot more things to do. Okay. I feel badly for the outdoor news and you guys. You've worked so hard to put this together, but obviously the feedback has been good from Friday. You're going to have a bigger show next year, a stronger show next year, and we're going to be right behind you, all right?
You bet. Damn straight. Thanks for the support, guys.
All right, take
Thanks,
care.
Rob. Thank you.
Take care, buddy.
Bye.
Mark?
Well, we have a couple more shout-outs we'll get to before the end of the show here. We have a picture from Jason Euchre on Devil's Lake today. It looks like they're killing the perch out there. I'm sure with the sun coming out and stuff, the perch are starting to bite.
Why can't we kill the perch we go out there? Are we no good?
I caught some good perch. I caught some nice perch, but not massive numbers. I think when we went out there, it was cloudy for about 30 straight days, so everything was kind of hunkering down. And they kept talking about when the sun breaks and the bugs start moving around and things start biting.
Blah, blah. Let's blame it on...
There's always a reason.
Let's blame it on Susie and Tanner.
We never catch any fish anywhere we go.
Go ahead.
It doesn't matter where
Keep
it
going.
Is.
Keep going.
But we also have one from Alicia Ann. Says, Hometown Hero Outdoors had our annual banquet up at Appledorn's on Mille Lacs. This is a picture with staff from our four states. Thank you to all our sponsors, donors, supporters, and volunteers. And everyone that could make it out to celebrate this amazing event. Thank you for writing. And we have a post from Craig Neal, who looks like he runs Montana Guided Elk Hunts Broken Heart Adventures. That link is on our Facebook page if you want to check it out. And you want to go elk hunting, contact Craig Neal. Seems like a cool guy. We'll have to have him on to talk about elk hunting sometime. So thank you for writing in. And let's see. That's it for now.
I guess. I'll tell you what. You know that the DNR started something called the deer open house. You know, they have meetings. Mm-hmm. They're going to have meetings twice a year.
Like a forum kind of thing?
Yeah, for the public to come in and get involved and twice a year talk about what's good, what's bad, what can we do to change the deer hunting in the state of Minnesota.
A lot of locals bitching about policies.
Oh, they're all bitch. We all bitch. We all bitch, 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 bitch. And I'll tell you what, so they've started this year. They had one already. They're going to have a second one early on. But here's people complain all the time about different things.
Yes.
But nobody wants to get involved. No, no one likes the taste of the bread, but no one wants to help bake it, right?
Ooh, that's a good saying. Well,
thank you very much. Anyway, so listen, okay. In Aiken, here's what happened for the first open house deer hunting committees from the public and come in and, let's do this and let's change this. Here's how many people showed up. Baudette, the meeting was March 16th. Three people showed up. Bemidji, August 29th, the first one, two people showed up. Cloquet, six. Crookston, one. Grand Rapids, three. No one's showing up for these things. Well, then don't complain about what's happening with the DNR. Don't complain about the DNR, that they're not doing their job, unless you want to be involved and try to help out.
But do you think if you went there and complained that anything would actually happen?
I wouldn't go. I'm having a cocktail. I'm not going.
That's the only problem is sometimes those things are to make people feel better, but how many open forums did they have on Mille Lacs, right?
A lot, I suppose.
And hundreds of people go and they tell their gripes. Does anything ever change?
I'm not sure. Has it changed? I don't know.
Not really.
I'm a fan. I'm a fan of the DNR.
Thank you for holding these. Thanks for people that go, but I don't know.
I'm a fan of the DNR, everything to do except for that guy named Aaron who gave me a ticket for $125 for unattended lines up on Lake of the Woods last week.
Well, we're both lawbreakers then, because I got a ticket a couple years ago, too.
But you deserved
Sam,
yours.
You're up, dude.
I make friends with my local DNR guys. I just gave a guy a key to my gate so he could use it for the DNR. So
that should be
I'm
illegal.
In good standing.
That's like buying him a bottle of brandy
so
or something.
So he can hunt on your land or he can just check it
no,
out?
No, the land south of mine is state property, and they're going to clear out some trees. And my gate is like the old easement from like 30 years ago when they did it. And I'm the one that has the key to it. So he called me.
It's
and
like the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain over there.
He came and buttered me up, said he'd drop some class five or do some work around my, property if he could borrow that key and use that. I'm like, heck yeah, baby. Like,
wow.
Let's build a relationship.
That's the name of the game, isn't it?
He did scare me, though. He sent me a picture of a year and a half ago of a cougar that was spotted like a mile and a half south of my property. I'll show it to you. My goodness.
That's cool.
So, yeah, he's like sending me all these pictures like, hey, this deer is in your area. Well, I'm like, sweet.
He's
so
a monster. Nice. You've seen some photographs of a monster?
I'll show you. Oh, my God. A monster bucks and a cougar.
Hey, you were talking about maybe rating or scoring my friend Kerry's buck.
Yeah.
Well, how do you have that background? How do you have that? How you have that knowledge?
I've just had a passion for it, and I've had deer scored, and it's actually not as hard as you think.
But you can be you can be pretty accurate. You think?
Oh yeah, within an eighth of an inch, you have to be.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. It's in my garage. We'll have you stop over.
Yeah.
And do that because she's all excited about it. And I think it'd be a nice gesture on your part.
I'd love to do that. Yeah. For sure.
Hey, thanks to Nick Edlund and Rob Driesline of the Outdoor News and the Turkey Classic kind of guy. Have a lot of fun. And thanks for listening to 4 Outdoors. We're going to talk to you next week. I won't be here because I'm going to be in Florida trying to find something to do. I'll be gone. I got to find something to do.
There
in the meantime,
buddy.
My buddy Mark's got something to say.
Get outdoors.